So you can see from the slide that there's a lot of organizations involved here. So I'll try and keep this from getting too complicated. As mentioned, I'm speaking on behalf of Chris Siebrecht, who couldn't be here today. He had the misfortune of having to go to Bellagio, so we feel very sorry for him. The slides are based on Chris's slides and with help from Andy Cantor, who is here, and also our collaborators, but they're basically the mistakes of mine. And this is just the full list of authors, and includes Leopoldo Nampuzer and Alessandro Campioni from Mozambique, and Tunga Simbini from Zimbabwe, and Carl Furey from South Africa, and Neil is from the US. So OASIS is a collaboration between a number of organizations working closely together to develop medical information systems for use in developing countries with a particular focus on Africa. And the vision really is to contribute to the development in low and middle income countries by improving capacity for in-country health software development and to reduce the burden of disease by using such software. So it's really focusing both on the development aspects and on healthcare delivery. And so to be more specific, there are a number of aspects about this project, and I'll try and sort of, as I said, keep a clear focus around this, but there are several different pieces that we've put together, and they in many ways address some of the points that were brought up in the first talk from the Health Metrics Network about some of the limitations of health information systems, and we're trying to address some of those points. So it's a group of projects for the collection and management of health data, particularly in Africa, a focus on open source software and standards-based approaches, a strategy for collaborative development and deployment of e-health tools. And it also includes a group of different strategies for training, or training programs, including a mentoring approach with mentors from outside, typically outside the country, coming and mentoring staff within Rwanda or other countries, and then helping to develop the capacity that can then go forward without outside help. The main funder is actually the International Development Research Center in Ottawa, and there's also additional funding from Rockefeller Foundation, CDC, and the Fogarty International Center, NIH. So OpenMRS is a core part of this project, and really was one of the main reasons why this collaboration arose. OpenMRS is an open source modular EMR system that was developed as a collaboration between the Regenstief Institute and their project team in Eldoret in Kenya, Partners in Health, my own group, the Electronic Medical Record team there, and the South African Medical Research Council, and that team led by Chris Siebrecht. Some core features of the system is it has a data model which is based on a concept dictionary, so it's very easy to add new kinds of data to the system and to manage dictionaries of different concepts and share them between sites. It's a modular design. It supports a number of different languages, a bunch of languages including English, Spanish, French, and Portuguese. We're working on Swahili, and the Russian version is being tested at the moment. The system has been shown to be scalable to nearly a million patients in one implementation. And it was released as an open source system in 2007 with an open source license. One thing I should emphasize, and sometimes misunderstood about open source projects, is that there's actually a core of paid programmers who focus on developing the system and supporting it for sites, you know, and following requirements on the ground. But there's also a growing community support, a community of other developers who've been helping, some voluntarily, some paid by other organizations, some in countries, you know, that actually want to implement the system. I think one of the key issues with OpenMRS is it's intended to be a very adaptable system. And I kind of look at this at four different levels. So we've developed some tools for allowing you to create forms and reports without programming. And this is intended to help people to customize the system for the various idiosyncrasies and local workflows in the sites, but without really changing the underlying processes. There's also a modular design, so you can build software modules on top of OpenMRS without changing the core code. And this gives people a lot more flexibility to experiment and to add new components to the system without necessarily disturbing the actual functioning of the underlying system. It means, for example, we can have a tool for synchronization between sites in Rwanda, but which doesn't have to be employed in other sites who don't want to use that system. We use open source. Oops. We use open standards and an open API, allowing interoperability with other applications. So noted we can connect to the district health information system and also to lab information systems, for example, in Eldoret and in Rwanda. and our electronic TB registers. And then at the most fundamental level, as the system is fully open source, you can go in and change any part of the core system, though obviously you need more expertise to do that safely. This is an example just of localization of the system, one of the forms used for patient intake in Mozambique. This is just an indication of some of the sites from the end of last year. Currently, there are at least 17 countries using OpenMRS for HIV management or other disease management projects. We think there's probably more than 20, but it's actually sometimes hard to track these things. So what are the problems that arose as we started to develop the OpenMRS project was that we knew we wanted to share core pieces of the system and core strategies that were found to be effective in different projects, but we needed to find a mechanism to do that, to figure out what were the things that work best, how to modify the strategies from one country to another to suit local conditions and so on. So what Chris did and really took a lead in this was to develop an implementers network. And this was both a virtual network, basically a mailing list and a wiki based on the OpenMRS website, but also a set of meetings and different documents to try and help to foster this community around the use of the system so that when somebody has a problem, they can email the list, they can learn from other people, they can come to meetings and get mentoring and so on. And this is, for example, you know, one of the email lists. And there's actually a paper about this in the International Journal of Medical Informatics a few months ago, just talking about how we support that network. And this is really a key thing if you're going to have a software system that's going to be used in multiple countries. And obviously, we'd want people to have basically learn from the experience of previous implementers. So capacity development is obviously a critical barrier, a critical issue in developing information systems. And this has been really a major focus of the OASIS project. These are a couple of examples of projects that Chris actually initiated. This is an office in Maputo in the university, which is training people to actually implement and develop OpenMRS in Maputo, and also teaching people about, you know, more general issues about health information systems and medical informatics topics. This is a meeting a year or so ago in Harare, training people in the use and the development of OpenMRS. There's also an internship program funded by IDRC, which allows African students to spend 3 to 6 months doing a mentored project and receiving a stipend for that. Another leg of this process was to decide on how we could actually create an umbrella organization that would be able to manage the coordination between different groups and also the funding of different groups, and to really try and create a long-term structure so that people could actually join the collaboration and could benefit from, you know, resources, both in terms of people and also documentation. And GEMBI is a new NGO which was set up last year and is now really the coordinator for the funding and management of this. Clearly another key component for these projects is evaluation and really ensuring that the systems that we're developing and deploying are in fact effective and useful for a variety of purposes. In particular, you know, a key question is, do these e-health systems improve the quality, timeliness, and use of data towards the achievement of better health outcomes in low-resource health systems? And if so, then what technical and operational factors contribute to any improvements seen? There's a big list, and I have to say that Chris has a lot of big slides, so I try to keep this simple. But the key point here is that we wanted to look at a number of different examples of the way people use information, for example, for clinical decision-making, improving record-keeping in general, the reporting and use of health for departments and ministries, but also, you know, is there increased support from universities to build capacity in both technical and policy? Is there an increase in the number of developers, and particularly open source developers, for this type of work? And is there also growth in the number of entrepreneurs, for example, who could be trained to work with these systems and actually consult to set up a system in a new clinic or a new site? Other research strategies we were looking at, one is use of an action research approach, which is something that IDRC particularly favors. And this is an example where you do regular assessments of an implementation and critically examine, you know, what's working, what isn't, make corrections or improvements, and then re-implement the system or test it another cycle. And it's a little bit like the Institute of Healthcare Improvement approach. Outcome mapping is particularly focusing on behavior change, on changes in behavior relationships, activities or actions of the people in groups and organizations that are impacted by an implementation such as a new health information system. We're also using agile software development processes and looking at how well that works in the situation. So having worked for a couple of years on this project, we've actually moved to a second phase and expanded the collaboration to include a number of new organizations. And in particular, we're looking at new groups, new technologies, and also some new countries. And all of these partners do have an involvement with OpenMRS in one way or another. So the collaborators include the Medical Research Council in South Africa and GEMBI, and Chris Siebrecht leads those two groups. And he's also the project leader, and he's heading the eHealth Architectures project, which I'll mention in a minute. The Millennium Villages project, and Andy Cantor, who's here in the second row, is the head for that project. D2E International and the Open ROSA project, and Neil Lesh is leading that. And then Partners in Health, I'm one of the core partners in this process. And in particular, I'm interested in training issues in Rwanda. And then we've also got partners in the Ministry of Health in Rwanda, particularly working around a new project funded by the IDRC for nurse education and also support for use of EMR systems in Rwanda and rolling out to new sites. So one of the issues that we're concerned to do is to find ways of identifying those aspects of the project which work well, and sharing those ideas with the rest of the team, and then assessing which ones will actually propagate more effectively to the broader community. So really recognizing, you know, are there ways we can harmonize data collection processes? Can we identify and transfer common research questions or tools or terminology? And I think this gets to the hub of this whole issue. Anybody who's worked in this area, I think, will recognize that you do recognize these common problems that people have. They need to report to PEPFAR, they need to collect data, you know, to improve loss to follow-up rates, they need to report to some government agency. But it's surprising how difficult it can be to take what seems to be a standard approach and apply it in other places. And I think there's a lot of subtle details about what are the pieces that are common and what are the pieces that are specific to a certain site. And clearly part of that is about making the system useful, as we said earlier in previous talks, making it useful to the local users so that people then buy into that. And then they're much more prepared typically to actually do documentation and to maintain the quality of that documentation because they can see a benefit and they can see why that's useful. And so that's one of the issues, I think, that we need to look at. And how do we build systems that are responsive to that, that have those core structures in place but are easily adapted? And these are some of the examples of software development which we're doing with the OpenMRS system. And they range from the core data model and the API through creating a number of reporting tools. And really, our current focus at PIH is to improve the tools so that it's easier for people to create their own reports without programming, and really to address this question of getting the data out and making it more useful to people. They were also developing tools for logic, for managing alerts and better reporting, and new tools for creating forms which don't require programming as well. The eHealth Architecture Project is a very important initiative, and this really grew out of a number of conversations over the last few years, both with and within the Health Metrics Network, but also the Bellagio eHealth meeting last summer, and a number of groups, some coordinated on electronic health records, a group that I led with Paul Biondich, and also a number of other groups here, including the Public Health Informatics Group, identified that there needed to be an initiative to create an overarching e-health architecture plan for a country rather than just having the ad hoc adoption of various different systems. And this has grown into a project particularly focusing on Rwanda, with support from the Health Metrics Network and funding from the Rockefeller Foundation and IDRC. And in fact, we've already had one conference in Geneva in June this year, and we're due to have a second meeting in Rwanda in October to work with the government very closely on identifying what are the high priorities in the country, what are the types of systems that need to be employed, and how can those systems work together so we can ensure interoperability and data exchange. This is an example. It's one of my own slides rather than Chris's, but you could imagine perhaps that other organizations would put something else in the middle here, but I think that it looks good for the moment. So this is just looking at, you know, if you're in a clinic context where, you know, having a health medical record is actually, you know, a key function, what are the things that that system needs to talk to? Obviously the laboratory information system, and this has already been established with an HL7 link, for example, in Eldoret, and also in Bukavu in Rwanda. Pharmacy systems, and this is something that I'm working on at the moment, is looking at what are the minimum core functions for a pharmacy system in a site where you're actually working directly with the supply to the patients. And what information, for example, on drug regimens needs to come from the EMR, what information needs to be then transmitted to and from the supply chain. This piece is actually already in process. There's a couple of different prototypes working with OpenMRS and the District Health Information System. And we're working with Voxiva, the developers of TrackNet, on using the WHO standard IXF to exchange reporting data from OpenMRS to the national reporting system. So these are kind of examples of some of the things that we'll be doing in Rwanda. The Millennium Villages project, which is another key partner of OASIS 2, has, I think, 14 sites, 14 countries. And these are four sites that actually have already implemented OpenMRS for primary care data collection. And this is a diagram of the use of the system. It includes local data collection from forms, links to community healthcare workers, which are being developed so that they can use handheld devices and phones to collect data. Also, obviously, reporting to the Ministry of Health and other requirements for reporting. And in addition, aggregation of de-identified data to look at health outcomes in particular sites and also between sites to compare how well things, you know, different health strategies work in different sites. And if you have any questions about that, then Andy, I'm sure, can give you a much better description. Open Rosa is another project which is looking at this key issue of handheld devices and how do we not only develop software which allows people to collect and use data and get decision support, for example, from cell phones and handheld devices, but how do we integrate that into a larger health information system? And so instead of a standalone, actually be able to pull data from an EMR system or submit data to an EMR system and if necessary then transmit that data on, you know, to in aggregate form for reporting, or combine data from laboratory systems with clinical data and make that available to community healthcare workers. And this is still very much a work in progress, but there are some examples here. This is an approach that Neil's been developing where you have a series of questions that scroll up the screen, so it can be used both for data collection and decision support. An interesting example of this is a mashup that some colleagues of ours, Awais Ahmed and Amir Khan in Karachi in Pakistan have been doing. Awais is the programmer here, and what he's done is to take Java Rosa, Google Maps, and OpenMRS. And these individuals, this green individual here, is somebody who has drug-resistant tuberculosis in Karachi, who's had directly observed therapy in the last 48 hours, and their healthcare worker has texted to say that, and that's gone into the server. And if you click on that person, you can bring up their record in OpenMRS, which is a version we developed for drug-resistant TB, showing their clinical status and actually their bacteriology results as well. And this was all done in about 3 months from when we released that MDR-TB version of OpenMRS. So finally, another project which has been really key to OASIS is how do we scale up the training process and how do we really build capacity to manage information systems in a country like Rwanda? And we realized quite early on, as we were asked to start to scale up the system and to plan for a rollout of OpenMRS widely in the country, that there simply wasn't the technical capacity to develop and deploy the system. So with, again, help from IDRC, we set up this mentored training program, which is for 11 months. We enrolled 10 students last November, and they receive very intensive mentoring from US and European mentors. We currently have 3 mentors, actually, at the moment. And they do very hands-on training, which is a kind of a weak point to some of the universities in Rwanda because of a lack of staff and access to computers. They've been learning web development, basic and advanced Java, medical informatics, and also learning to implement and to develop OpenMRS. And they actually have to build their own modules in OpenMRS to graduate from this course. And they've already got offers from the Ministry of Health to hire a number of the students, and we'll be hiring at least one of the students to mentor next year. And the idea is that over time we'll actually have a fully Rwandan run course. And of course we're working closely with the universities to develop links so that we can actually eventually make this part of a master's program. And finally, there's a plan, again funded by Rockefeller Foundation, to start an e-health center of excellence in Rwanda, which would include not only training of technical development teams in medical information systems, but also clinical staff in health information systems, and developing capacity for policy and evaluation studies and so on. So finally, in conclusion, I think this lack of training and expertise is a major barrier to e-health projects, as we've heard many times in this conference. But it can be overcome, I think, with effective use of mentoring and training. And it just requires to be a very high priority, I think, in starting a project. And so we've really tried to do the training in Rwanda before we really actually moved forward with a major rollout. I think open source software and open standards for data exchange really empower African health systems to build and extend systems for their own projects. I think it's very difficult for a country that is having to buy software from outside and doesn't really have the capacity to actually modify or support that software. There are many pitfalls in that situation. And collaboration is really essential if we're going to build effective e-health systems in Africa. And I can tell you from experience that collaboration really requires a lot of commitment and significant resources and a real focus on ensuring that the key lessons are learned from each project and propagated around the team. It's not a zero cost thing. And for a small project, I think it's probably the cost is greater than the benefits in some ways. But as you scale to a larger set of projects or to multiple countries, then it becomes enormously valuable. So I think it's important that we recognize and funders recognize that you have to support the initial stages to get that benefit later on. Thank you.